You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
What's up, Bison fans, and welcome back. It's been too long to Bison Report Radio, brought to you by our friends at Mahana Fresh. And joining me here in studio is Zach Willis. What's up, baby? That's a look on your face right there.
I'm excited to be back. It's a good day. My friends did Pro Day today. We're sponsored by the great people over at Mahana Fresh. Go get yours, by the way. It's fantastic. And it's always good here to talk shop here in the beautiful Bison Report studios in Horace.
So do we need to address the takes first, or do we need to address Pro Day first? How would you like to do this?
Let's do Pro Day first.
I was there. The end. No. Good experience, I felt like. 29 teams were there. The Vikings had multiple reps. The Eagles had multiple reps. A couple of wide receiver coaches that I noticed were in the building. I don't want to make it sound like it was the Christian Watson show, but maybe it kind of was.
Sure.
But, you know, Cordell's a top 150 kid.
Yeah.
Braden, I think, is we'll talk about this in a second, but I think Braden has moved his conversation into the sixth and seventh round.
Yeah.
And I'll explain why. You know, people talk, and there's a great quote from Cordell that will I'm going to cut up some of the video clips for Bison Report later. There's a great quote from Cordell, like, these workouts here don't, you know, it's not putting your hand in the dirt and playing football. It doesn't show what we can do out there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it doesn't. Yeah. You know, I mean, these teams need to know. And some of the need-to-know things that Braden Thomas put out there today are big time.
Yeah, genuinely one of the better stories of the NFL draft as far as where he came from and his arc throughout his college career. Love Braden, played with him for 2 years. So it's just super cool to see his progression. And, you know, I think he's going to get a shot here to play in the NFL.
I do too. And I guess we can just go right into it. You know, there's not a ton of other news items, I guess. But Braden Thomas had two things that were very, very important happen for him today. Well, you know, we'll call it three things. First, at his size, he was able to, rock a vertical leap over 32 inches. That's important. You want to be able to show that you are explosive. No, defensive ends don't jump straight up in the air. And that's what, it's to show that you are explosive athletically.
It's all being able to unhinge your hips and clear those. I mean, it's literally getting out of the sprinter's blocks when you're playing D-end, especially in the NFL. So, like I said on Twitter today, I mean, 32 plus for him is a really good number.
It is. And here's a big one as well, 6'0", 3'0".
Yeah.
And what that means is 6 feet tall, 3, and no eighths.
Right.
Him being 6'3", listed at 6'3", and teams truly believing that he's 6'3", that means he can play outside linebacker in a 3-4.
Yeah.
You're not having to make excuses for him at 6'1 or 6'2". Because, you know, then you start talking about, okay, well, does he have to play like Jackson Hankey's position at the next level? Does he have to play off the ball? And that was, I think, one of the big concerns with Kyle Emanuel. And Kyle spent a lot of his NFL career kind of flipping between being on the line of scrimmage and being off the line of scrimmage.
Yep.
Where Braden now, I think, has the ability with this and the sub-7, he told me his three-cone time today would have been top three at the combine. Right after who was the top guy at the last combine that they actually had 2 years ago? Derek Tuska was the top 4-3 defensive end in the three cone. Kramer loves that hip flexibility, loves to be able to get those guys running that drill. And hey, man, for people that are looking to take a flyer on a pass rusher, having legitimate freak show three cone is so important. And people, that's the L drill. It shows your ability to corner and accelerate as you corner.
Yep.
That's in football terms, in what you're actually doing, it's getting to the edge, bursting off the line of scrimmage, getting to the edge and being able to turn the corner on that tackle before you can get hands on and get to the quarterback. And
it's almost a drill built specifically for D linemen.
Yeah.
And he showed out today at his test. Like you said, that's 6'3". It's so funny that we, you know, there's the freak shows, obviously. There's some centers and guards who play at 6'1", 6'2", and, like, guys who are the exceptions to the rules. And so once you hit that 6'3 mark, especially playing DN at the next level, that's always a good sign. And 258, too, I think that's a weight you have to be happy about, because Braden could, you know, slim down if you needed him to play more, stand up, rush the ball more. But if you want him to be a plug-in, you know, clog run lanes, he's that guy who can put on 10 more pounds of weight too and shut those down. So I think his adaptability, and then he showed his athleticism today, is a great sign for him.
It's, you know, it's funny you say that. One of the, I thought, more interesting quotes from the whole thing, because a lot of those guys, like, we know, we've heard it all about Cordell, we've heard it all, we understand what Babich is.
Yep.
You know, obviously C-Dub has been talked to death. Braden is one of those more interesting prospects, where Braden has been told by NFL teams they see him as a fullback, a linebacker, a tight end, or an edge player.
It's awesome.
So, and you know, his very simple response is, I will do whatever it is you want me to do.
And, you know, that is no surprise to me hearing that from Braden. That's the mindset that those guys want to hear at the next level, because – if Braden stuck to his guns and said, I'm a D-end, you know, I'm sure he'd rather play D-end. But if those guys brought him in and, you know, you laid it out on paper and say, hey, Braden, you either have a 1-in-1 chance of making it playing D-end or a 1-in-4 chance playing at multiple positions, he's going to take that chance every time. And that just opens up a bunch of abilities for him. And I think he'd be able to be successful at any of those positions.
Absolutely. Let's talk about our guy, Cordell. It was a tremendous day for him.
Yeah.
And I'm going to update my buddy Kent. Yeah. because we have just a tremendous improvement from Cordell. 25-inch at the combine, 32-inch vertical leap today in Fargo. In addition to that, his three-cone time went from 8.31 to 7.44.
A second off of his time.
Let's see. Did he broad? I think he did. He went from 8 foot 8 inches to 9. Nope.
I don't see a broad.
No, you're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. Okay. But his 20 yard shuttle went from 4.93 to 4.67.
Yeah.
So those are big, very important things for Cordell, who chose, I do believe, chose not to run the 40, not to better his time from Indianapolis, but other things that he did bettered his time in a big, big way. Big day for Cordell. To answer some of those questions about his athleticism.
Well, I think, you know, everybody puts a lot of stock in the combine, and I think you should, because it's the one spot that you're put in the bright lights before it actually happens, right? But, you know, as far as I knew from Indianapolis this year, a historically bad agility year for everybody. So I didn't put too much stock into it. I knew Cordell was a better athlete than his numbers, and he just proved it today. I mean, going from 25 to 32 in the vert is absolutely absurd, and shedding a full second off your L cone drill time is pretty phenomenal as well. But I'm happy that he got to prove, and I bet he's happy with those numbers today.
The vert thing is bananas. Was his Achilles not there?
Was he holding, like, Trevor Penning on his shoulders or something? You know?
Yeah, I don't understand how you, like...
25 is like my vert.
Not only that, but it's like, oh, shoot, I only verted 25. Let me work on this for 3 weeks and improve 7 inches.
Right. And you know, people... not to shout out my guys here, but, you know, I worked out at Dynasty in high school, and there's tricks of the trade of how to get better, you know, shed a couple inches off your vertical, or, you know, make your time each crowd up on the line for your 40, whatever, all this stuff. This isn't home cooking. It's NFL guys running the pro day. So,
yeah.
So, I mean, it's nothing like that.
And that's one thing I want people to understand is NFL scouts ran this thing.
Yeah.
Kramer's there. Mm-hmm. Kramer's not running this workout.
Right.
It's somebody else because they don't want their time wasted either. They don't want to go and see a bunch of home cooked numbers that don't right. do them any good either.
Like Penn State a couple years ago.
Yeah, like Penn State.
35 yard dash.
Oh, man, that's funny. All right. So, yeah, C-Dub, you know, mentioned he looked good. Had one drop down the sideline, but other than that, looked good. I mean, he just went and he is a specimen, man. And I don't mean to, like, dehumanize. That's not what I'm saying.
Sure.
You know, people get mad. You call somebody a beast. You call somebody an animal. He's
still a human.
Yeah. Yeah. He's
yeah.
a dog.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Unbelievable.
And it's especially shocking when you get to field level with him. You know, guys like him, too.
He took his shirt off, and it's like, what is going on?
Yeah, man.
You're not the same.
And he showed up to campus like that, except he was 185 pounds, and now he just put 20 pounds of muscle on. So, yeah. Like, looks the exact same, just bigger. And, I mean, like you said, just a freak show of nature. You can't really comprehend how fast and scary athletic these guys are until you see them next to, like, if I threw myself out there running routes.
Sure.
A normal guy to next to Christian.
He was chatting, or he was right over by. So I just happen to know this because I know this. The guy that the Packers sent, his name was Dimitri Meach Goodson, and Meach was a corner and has come up now after getting released by the team, has come up through the scouting ranks sure. and is doing some regional stuff for the Packers. He was a sixth round pick right after Green Bay won the Super Bowl, either the 11 or the 12 draft. Good special teams player, but just. Yeah. Wasn't long for the league.
Sure.
So this is an NFL corner, like, that I know played in the NFL.
Yeah.
And him just look. I mean, he's like a child.
Yeah.
You know what else is funny? Babich with a tank top on talking to T-Roll makes T-Roll kind of look like a child as well.
I'm not going to comment on that. You, I mean, you absolutely tried.
He was just towering over him with these hulking arms.
Dude, Babich is another one of those guys that's just a specimen. And when you see him on the field, you're like, oh, my God. And for him to jump 37 inches is absolutely terrifying.
It is. It is. I think if you really wanted to move him up, like, into the alien realm and put him in the mid-rounds as a non-combine invitee, you probably wanted him to run a little bit better.
Yeah.
But
he's one of those guys that just cares about getting a shot.
Yeah.
And I think once he gets it, and he's going to perform.
He didn't run a disqualifying time at tight end.
Right.
At tight end, the thing is, if you run around like 5 seconds,
yeah.
they really start to worry about you.
Right. And it's so clouded by the fact that, like, there's guys not like George Kittle. I tweeted that comparison, ran like a 4.48. Noah Fant ran like a 4.39, like freak shows. And, like, it's not disqualifying. There's a lot of good players who ran sub 4.8.
It is funny how, you know, and you bring up my good friend Owen, and you know, all the junk you both talk about these measurables and how it's all on the field. It is interesting how, though, the elite tight ends in the league, and you know, Josh may never be one of those. Mm-hmm. I think Josh would be very happy to be an 8-year vet.
Yeah, are you going to be upset about that? Right,
right. But it is crazy how you always. Or you go and you look at the guys that are really doing it in the league, and it's all the freaks.
Yeah.
Kittle, alien. Travis Kelce, alien. Right. It is the guys with the crazy height, weight, and speed that seem to separate themselves, but that doesn't mean that you can't make a really good living in the league, even not being, you know, one of those amazing. And in fact, you know, one guy that I think kind of goes against that, and let me check this before I – make a fool out of myself, but I am actually not 1,000% sure. That Gronk was a freak. Just kidding.
He's a freak.
Just kidding, freak.
Well, I mean, okay, so I pulled up Travis Kelce's 40 time. I mean, 6'5", 255 at his pro day. He ran a 4.61, and the height and weight is pretty comparable to Babbo. Kelce just ran a little faster, so, I mean, it's not like it's out of the realm of the possibility. And, you know, I think I'm kind of in between you and Owen of, like, I think that the analytics stuff matters, and I think you have to be a genuine freak show to play in the NFL. But there is a game speed aspect to it where you throw on the pads, get a little adrenaline flowing, Babbo might outrun everybody. And we saw that a couple times in college. So,
and sometimes too, like I said, it's just a qualification or a disqualification. Right. If Josh Babbage runs 5.15 today, his NFL career is over.
Right.
He can't.
And he didn't. So
you know who did that? And here's a deep pull. Uh-huh. Do you remember Evander Holyfield's son, Elijah Holyfield, that played for Georgia?
Yeah.
Ran a 4.9.
Right.
And as much of a dog as he looked like, and as many people that mocked him in the second, third, and fourth round because he was a dude, as soon as he ran a 5-second 40, that you just knew it wasn't going to work.
I believe was the he's still in the league, but Thaddeus Moss, same kind of thing. Like, just wasn't as fast as people thought he was, and it was to the point where they're like, we're not wasting a draft pick on him.
Sure.
And it's almost like those guys missed – I mean, in the years of Bubba Franks and LG Crumpler, like, they would have survived those days. But now everybody is a legit freak show, like you said. So it's that fine balance, and it's all about the era you grew up in. And I think Babbo is in the perfect time to qualify himself, get that job, and I think he's going to show out wherever he ends up.
Should we address some takes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Excuse me?
Let's...
That wasn't even a drop. That was good.
That was good.
Excuse me.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Let's talk about some positional moves first.
Sure.
Dylan Hendricks. I don't know much about him. You know him better than I do. Mm-hmm. Moves to defensive end. What do you think about that?
I like that. I like that for him personally.
Okay.
I don't know what the personnel situation is as far as who they're going to fill in at linebacker, how that's all going to shake out.
They're running out of those kids.
I was going to say, I would have liked more bodies at linebacker, but that being said, you can never have enough guys that rush the passer. Dylan, freak show athletic guy.
Okay.
Especially coming out of high school, was on the national rugby team, so like the guy can get it done. And we've seen some of those successful moves for guys who get snaps as far as, you know, you look at Jay Kava, even who's a solid role player that moves in. And then, I hope that's a way for Dylan to parlay, you know, a little bit of success in a new position to get on the field.
Sure. Now both Mo starts are at defensive tackle, and coach was like, we sometimes have to stop practice so they can argue and yell at each other. You don't know which one is which.
It's like a movie. They do it all the time. And if they switch jerseys, I don't think people would be able to tell which one is which. But they actually do it. Like, we would do one-on-ones and stuff. So, yeah. And, you know, obviously only the offensive line had the count. One of them would jump off sides and side. The other one would stand up and call him an idiot. And then, like, they would just go back and forth. And it actually is funny. I can't wait to see that progression as those guys get older and they just start screaming at each other mid-practice.
Yeah. But, I think it makes sense. I think we thought with you know, our king.
Our snapping turtle king.
Buteau leaving, and then you know, obviously Lane leaving, and they had a couple other, I think, bodies too, and really getting down to be like Javi Derrett and the most starts, and you're getting kind of into the nitty gritty. So it made sense that ultimately, you know, those guys are going to be probably bigger movable chess pieces, but guys that are going to try and dominate inside a little bit.
Yeah, and especially as both of them continue to put weight on. Especially Will gets a little heavier to fill in that three tech spot, and then moving down Dylan to kind of take that extra body that he was leaving at the end. That all kind of makes sense there.
I will say this. I really think the team needs, and this is not a brilliant take or a hot take, really any kind of take, they need Spencer Wagey to stay healthy.
Yeah.
Because he can rush from the three. He can rush from the six. He can do all sorts of things where he can be like the best defensive lineman that is rushing on that play. And then you can have guys working off of him, whether it's Tony Pierce, whether it's Will, whether it's Eli, it doesn't matter, but they can work off of what the offense has to respect about Spence.
Yeah. Spencer's, you know, enough of a talent that he's a legit guy that they have to game plan for because, he has game breaking ability. You know, it's just kind of one of those things that keep him on the field. Not only that, but his leadership on the field, he's smart, getting people in the right spots, getting everything. But like you said, he can play from six to six all along the defensive line. So hope for Spence to come back and stay healthy this year, because I think he could be a guy we're talking about at this time next year about going to the next level.
Yeah. You know, there was some talk at the press conference about Mike Linebacker. I know that coach said Nick Kubitz had a good – I mean, here's the thing, though, folks. The way that conversation – I think it was Jeff Kolpak. And the way that conversation happened between Kolpak and Matt, nobody said the name Cole Wisniewski.
Yeah.
He's going to play. Mm-hmm. Not only is he going to play, he's going to start. So right. They're going to have to figure out – and they're honestly, I don't see how it's either one way or the other Will and Mike is not – Wiz and K's.
Right.
I just don't see it.
I would imagine, yeah.
As much as we're talking about Wirtz getting healthy and Kubitz having a nice time. And
I think the best play for personnel-wise is Wiz at Mike.
Sure. Yeah.
So he's, I mean, if you want to talk about, you know, the same kind of game that he can play, he's smart, can get guys lined up, and that's what you need the middle linebacker to do. So I think he's the best fit there.
The interesting one to me, though, is Sam. Sure. And that's where, you know, Jasir Cox hits the portal.
Yep.
No longer here. Obviously not practicing, et cetera, et cetera. They moved Enoch Sibomana down. That was a name. Now, I will no longer allow Matt to call that position linebacker if it's Enoch.
Right.
You're like, buddy, you're playing.
Because he had a small corner playing that position last year, and now he's going to have an even smaller.
Yeah. It's like well, we play 4-3. Here's the thing. No, you don't.
Yeah.
That guy is a defensive back.
There's also never three linebackers in the box. Sure. And that goes back to practicing. It was never that. So how are we going to call anything a 4-3?
Sure. So anyway, but yeah, training in Ladarchik there.
I like that.
He is, you know, and like Matt mentioned too, they can just play the three safeties that we know about together.
Right. And my thing is, especially with – you know, you would imagine K's and Wiz are tied down to those spots. The rest is like everybody else in that linebacker. You're not a Mike. You're not a Sam. You're not a Will. Who can fill whatever position we need you to fill? Who can play all three? And I think that's going to be the guy we're going to see on the field this fall.
And ultimately, they might just decide, like, hey, our best 11 has Dom Jones, Dawson Weber, and Michael Tutsi on the field.
I'm not mad about that.
No, I think it'd be hard to be mad about that. They're going to be so deep in the back end, man. Like, if that front seven can go.
Yeah.
You got four corners that can go. You've got three safeties that can go. And by the way, some dogs waiting in Tyson Gordon and Julian Ladarchik.
It's going to be legit no fly zone, I think, this fall.
I think so too.
So, you know, especially with this being Dawson's and Tut's swan song, like this is going to be their last go at it. So I think we're going to see some legit crazy defensive numbers from the Bison this fall.
For sure. Let's address the take. You want to address the take?
Yeah.
Folks, Cam Miller's the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to tell you about Cam Miller.
Dog. He scored 5 touchdowns against Southside.
Cam Miller's the dog.
It's the same mindset that wanted Tyler Roll fired this year.
Like the shiny new toy? Well, that's not the same mindset, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, what you and I said was different, but yes, it's like, hey, this guy's winning games and doing a good job, but there could be somebody who's better, so let's look at other options. Like, hey, Cam just won you a national championship, so.
Cam Miller comes to campus, takes the starting quarterback job as a true freshman from
a fifth-year senior.
A fifth-year senior.
Yeah.
Goes down, doesn't, whatever, they don't, he doesn't play great.
And he still took him to a semifinal.
Sure.
So, like, it's an accomplishment as a freshman, but
comes
yes.
back to campus. They bring this Adonis block of granite freak show in, four-star quarterback in Quincy Patterson.
Mm-hmm.
Takes his job. Never gives it back.
The kid just wins, man.
Goes and wins you a national championship, and you're... He goes into Matt Ants' office and goes, is this my job?
Right.
And Matt's like, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah.
And, you know, now people talk about Cole Payton. And look, hey, I will say this. I get it. I get it 1,000%.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're listing Cam as a junior
right.
in the program. He's a sophomore.
Right.
Like, he can play his 5.
Mm-hmm.
And where does that put you with Cole? It puts you in a situation where he has a worse outlook than Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
In the sense of, I'm not even playing my last 2 years.
Right.
I'm playing my last one.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, kind of makes you think, like, what would Carson have hit the portal?
Right.
I don't think it would have. You know, like, you start thinking, if if the portal exists at that time, what would Carson Wentz have done with sitting behind Brock Jensen?
I feel like it's such a heavily nuanced conversation. I mean, Cam's a starter until that is proven otherwise. And I don't know what he would have to do to lose that starting spot. They've obviously shown in the last 2 years previously that I can't remember really, maybe besides Brock coming in that first year, that they're going to ride with their guy who they say is a starter after the first one. But now it's like, if you're not playing well, we have some dogs behind us. So you got to keep your game up. And I think that lights a fire under Cam, but like Cole Payton's too good of a player to only play one. You want the best of all, but like as a Bison fan, I want to sit here and say, keep all of them, you know, fill the whole stable and let's keep Cole ready for his last year. Am I going to be mad as, you know, an advocate for players and a former college player that like Cole's going to go transfer and play his eligibility? You only have 5 years to do it for your whole life.
Right.
So if you're, I mean, I can't knock the kid for doing whatever he wants to do or however this shakes out, because I mean, if Cam does end up losing that spot, then it's full trust that Cole's going to win. But you know, I think that's a far down the line conversation and some really crazy stuff would have to happen because Cam's proven he's the number one guy.
And it's certainly not a conversation to have about taking a kid's job away that just played like that.
Right.
Like I am not, you saw some of the numbers I pulled at the end of the season.
Yeah.
I am not that far from Cam Miller, Missouri Valley preseason player of the year offensively.
I think he's my favorite. That's who I'd vote for right now.
Because Pierre Strong's not there.
Right.
Christian Watson's not there.
Yep.
I don't know what Jason Shelley's deal is. I don't know if he has eligibility, but whatever.
Doesn't matter. It's Cam.
My point is, like, he is not a caretaker quarterback.
Right.
He's a gangster.
Mm-hmm.
And so I mean, what we will find out, though, is just how fun it's going to be designing an offense around Gindy, because and that's not to say that these true freshman wide receivers that we're excited about aren't good or that Phoenix can't handle it, but one's just not out there anymore.
Right.
And we're going to see, I think, a more developed or a more,
it honestly might be more fun to watch
or freeing.
And that's not, you know, a negative, but it's like, we have one. He's a horse. We need to feed him.
So like, what would Easton have looked like without Shep for one season?
Right, exactly. But it's like now it's completely open. We can throw the ball to whoever we want to. Whoever we want can run the ball. You know, whatever the whole plan is. We have three quarterbacks who could be on the field at the same time.
Yeah, and that's, you know, it's funny you say that. My thing has always been, like, how much more now, and then it's not like they were very safe with Quincy before because they weren't.
Yeah.
But, man, I think for Quincy and for his, like, NFL prospects, I would like to see him taught a few, and I don't think they will, but I would like to see him taught a few new positions.
Yeah.
I would like to see him at H-back. Right. I would like to see him play maybe a little tight end or maybe even just play some wide receiver with that drop in the playoff game.
Yeah, right.
Notwithstanding, but because I think you really could move Quincy into, like, this weapon role and have Cole be the backup quarterback. And then we're having a different conversation because I think once Quincy leaves, then you can do some of the same stuff that you've been doing, which is, yes, Cam is a passable athlete. He's fine.
Mm-hmm.
He was certainly more athletic than Zeb.
You mean that Zeb, my GA center and 6 year starter, was less athletic?
Okay.
Oh, what me?
Talking about what I'm saying is you can run different stuff for Quincy and have him as somebody you hand it to or throw it to. Instead of someone you just snap it to.
Right.
And then you can put all the cool Quincy stuff in for Cole, because he's that dude with the ball in his hands.
Absolutely. Both of them are. And I think it could go one of two ways. And obviously this is a whole, like I said earlier, very nuanced conversation about making especially athletic quarterbacks move to other positions to play at the next level. But I think Quincy is legitimately a good enough athlete to play, like you said, that H-back position, carry the rock, and do it at the next level. So, I think Quincy's a guy that'll do whatever he needs to do to help the team win. And honestly, I think playing that H-back position helps his prospects. But the problem is, if you're the NDSU coaching staff, are you going to be comfortable giving him 10 carries a game, possibly losing a backup quarterback going from 3 to 2?
But that's what I'm saying. I'm saying you are.
Yeah.
I'm saying you are because you've got the and for whatever reason he's blanking, but they are bringing in a scholarship quarterback in this class.
Sure.
You got Peter who's been around, but you were in a worse situation last year.
Absolutely.
If Quincy and Cam go down, who's your quarterback last year?
Hey, also, I haven't seen anything that would indicate Quincy could be kept off the field.
Right. Who's going to hit it? You know right. what I mean? But my point is they were in a worse position last year.
Absolutely.
Because
yeah, I'm with you. It's just hard of that. It's part of that thing where, college coaches are a weird animal, man, and they like comfort as much as they talk about being outside of their comfort zone, all this stuff, all the cliches. But if you can have three legit starting level quarterbacks instead of two, they're going to take three every day. But I don't think that's going to stop anybody from at least having the conversation with Quincy to play a different position or maybe not a different position, but fill a new role here in the next year.
All right. We were going to do a basketball part of this. Nate and I are going to do a separate show. I can't get him on the phone anyway. talk to us about the progress here with championship gold.
Yeah, we're feeling good, man. It's been selling well. Really well. If you and I talked about the number of what we're going to produce, and I was kind of like, I don't know. We'll see how the demand is. And you guys have stepped up, like we've mentioned on Twitter before. The best fans in the world, man, especially promoting it here. We get a little touch from Big Deck. We get a little touch from Bison Report. So it's super cool to see the support. I think we're going to keep sales open here for another couple weeks and then kind of close it off. Like we said, it's a limited thing. You can only get it here for this month that we're running it. And who knows if it's ever going to be back on shelves again. So,
I've beaten this thing to death. My guys and I were down in Arizona, and you shipped 4 bottles of it down to my parents. We took about 6, we'll just call 3/4 of a bottle and put it in a bowl. And, man, just went to Costco and got some wings and threw the wings in the oven.
I get people every day, man, that are tweeting at us and sending us Facebook messages.
It's not a wing sauce. It's a everything sauce.
Yeah.
It is unbelievable on wings.
Yeah.
It is so good on
You've been pounding
wings.
I dropped off the samples for you that day, and you said, I made chicken wings with it. They're fantastic.
Oh, my gosh.
So you've been pounding that table forever, but, we have hamburgers. We have people dipping French fries in it. It's a true honey mustard that, people love to use. What did somebody send me? They made deviled eggs with it. All this stuff. You can do literally anything with this stuff.
Interesting.
And like I said, it's not like anything else you'll find at our website. It's different than anything in the product line, and it's going to be gone here soon. So if you want some more, you need a restock, or you need to get your first batch, hurry.
All right, folks, thank you so much for sticking with me and Zach. This was a little bit of a rant session, but that's all right. Congrats to all the guys at Pro Day. Keep your eyes peeled for the NFL draft. You're going to see some green and gold names called. Have a phenomenal weekend, everybody, and go Bison.